Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'd like to welcome you to an exciting new series on the Qalam podcast, Quranic Reflections, where all of our instructors here at Qalam share their thoughts and insights, reflections, research in regards to various chapters and verses of the Quran. We hope and pray that this will become a very beneficial resource for people to develop an understanding of the Quran and to come closer to the Book of Allah. If this is of benefit to you, please visit supportqalam.com. Visit supportqalam.com and donate and contribute generously. That is what allows us to continue to do this work and deliver the understanding of Islam to as many people as possible all around the world. Now, go ahead and listen. Please share with family and friends. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله جعل لكم فرقانا ويكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويغفر لكم والله ذو فضل عظيم. Assalamu alaikum to everyone. Alhamdulillah, thanks for joining us on this month-long journey through the Quran with various different scholars from America. Alhamdulillah, I'm privileged just to be able to share and be a part of the group. Alhamdulillah. And I was asked to share some reflections on various verses from the Quran. And I wanted to begin with a verse that really, it centers us on the purpose of Ramadan. And it kind of reminds us, it becomes a very good starting point for us to understand what we should expect from this month and how we should gauge our progress in this month. Specifically, I want to talk about the concept of hidayah, because there's a verse in Surah Baqarah that I recited where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala couples these two together, which is the month of Ramadan and the concept of hidayah. So I want to talk about this evening this concept of hidayah that we find in the Quran. So let's begin with that verse. The verse is شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The beginning of the verse is the month of Ramadan. شهر رمضان الذي, it is that month, أنزل فيه القرآن, in which the Quran was revealed. This verse without doubt shows us the close connection that the month of Ramadan has with the Quran, and we all experience that with the Salat al-Taraweeh and our individual readings. If we look at the lives of the early scholars and the Sahaba, how they used to devote so much time to reciting the Quran, all these things speak for the connection. But I think we need to look a little deeper and really get at what that connection is all about. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنَ. Then the next part of that verse says, "Hudad linnas." It explains why that Quran was revealed as guidance, or hidayah is the word. "Hudad linnas wa bayyinatin min al-huda," guidance for mankind and signs of guidance. So we see this concept of guidance coming so much in the lives of Muslims. Every prayer we make, this prayer, "Ihdina siratul mustaqim," O Allah, guide us on the straight path. And what's interesting about this concept of hidayah is that the Muslim doesn't see hidayah as a ending point, but rather hidayah is a constant adjustment that they're making throughout their lives. The scholars have broken down hidayah into two types. It's very interesting, which is there is dalala ala tariq ila al matlub and isal ila al-matlub. So there's two types of guidance, and some of the usuli scholars have written about this. One type of guidance is dalala ila tariq, like someone telling you direction somewhere. You know, so you're driving, you get lost, and you see someone, they look friendly, they look like someone that will give you directions, and you say, excuse me, do you know how to get to such and such? And they say, yeah, you know, you go straight. When you get to this street, then turn left. Then you'll see a right aid on your left. Then at that right aid, make sure you turn right and it should be right there. They give you directions to that place. That's one type of hidayah when we use this word ihdina. So we're asking Allah to give us that guidance. Tell us how to get there. And that's what the Quran does. It gives us that roadmap of how to get to our objective and how to go to where it is that we're trying to get to. But there's a second type of hidayah. And the same example, you know, you ask someone, you pull up at a red light and you don't know where you're at. You're kind of lost. GPS isn't working. So you look over to the next lane, you beep your horn, roll down your window, and you ask the person next to you, you say, excuse me, you know, do you know how to get to such and such street? And that person says, yeah, but you know what? It's hard to get there. Just follow me. Just follow me. And you go, you know, wow, subhanAllah, thank you so much. You know, because directions, there could be a mistake in my understanding the directions. And that's why Allah tells us about this hidayah, يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. That when it comes to the Quran, there are many people that go astray because of the Quran. يُذِلُّ, he misguides by means of this Quran, كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. And many people are guided by the Quran. So the Quran itself is that roadmap. But what the Quran does is it actually reflects some of the biases sometimes that we bring to it. So a person that has things in their heart, when they read into the text, they find those things there that only confirm the things that they already had inside of them. So you get behind this person, and now this person leads you to that destination. And that's completely different, because now you're completely trusting on this person. You don't know where you are. All you know is this car in front of me is guiding me, and I'm going to trust in this car because I'm in a place that I don't know about, and I trust this person. And this is isal ila al-matlub. This is the second type of hidayah that scholars have broken down this concept of hidayah into. So when we look at that type of hidayah, the embodiment of that hidayah is found in the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. That is the one who's saying, follow me. And one of the verses that we should reflect on, which is just extremely powerful, the rhetorical means that are being used in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, just a few pages ahead of the verse we just recited and began with, that kul in kuntum, say to the people, O Muhammad, kul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni. Say to the people, in kuntum, if you love Allah, do you love Allah? And the example that I thought about is, you know, sometimes you're coming out of the airport, and you see various taxi drivers and drivers holding up signs, right? So and that sign is just that if your name is on this sign, ittabi'uni, just come with me, I got you. So this verse is so beautiful because it's like he's holding a sign and he's saying, like, everyone who loves Allah, the sign says lovers of Allah. The sign says lovers of Allah. And he's saying, kul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah, that if you love Allah, follow me and I will guide you. So that is, these are the two things that we're connecting to in this month. We're connecting to the roadmap given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that spiritual nourishment, that revelation is spiritual nourishment. So we're starving the body, but we're supposed to be giving an immense amount of nourishment to the soul. And the way that you give that nourishment is through the recitation of the Quran, dua to Allah, and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one of the effects that should also be gained from this is found in the same verse as well. So let's go back to our original verse and let's look at it again. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. The month of Ramadan is that month in which the Quran was revealed. هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ, guidance for the people. وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى, and signs of guidance. وَالْفُرْقَانِ, and a furqan. I want to stop and talk about this word for a moment, because one of the goals and objectives of this blessed month of Ramadan is to recalibrate the moral compass within your heart. I'm going to say that another time. One of the goals of this month of Ramadan is to recalibrate the moral compass which is inside of your heart. And that moral compass, in my estimation, is referred to in the Quran by this concept called Al-Furqan. And Al-Furqan simply means a criterion. And it comes from a root word which means to differentiate. So the thing that a person gets from the Quran, a thing that a person can gain from the Quran, and in fact one of the names of the Quran is Al-Furqan, which is the criterion, because it allows one to be able to segregate in their mind, to differentiate between right and wrong, to differentiate. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this, that يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقَ اللَّهِ يَجَعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. That, O you who believe, let's look at the same word, because Allah is speaking about Shahru Ramadan. One of the parts of the Quran is that it has this furqan, this criterion. Now, that criterion or that moral compass is spoken about in other places in the Quran. So, example, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, in tattaqullah, if you have this consciousness of Allah, if you have this awareness of Allah, what we call taqwa, and taqwa is a deep concept in and of itself, but it's just this awareness of Allah at every moment. In tattaqullah, what will happen as a result of you having taqwa? Yaj'al lakum furqana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a very highly calibrated, extremely sensitive moral compass. Now, what we find about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, he came to a people whose moral compass was off. And they testify to that. They say, we used to eat, you know, meta, dead meat. We used to commit zina. We used to gamble. We used to oppress. We used to do all of the things of jahiliyyah. Their moral compass was not calibrated. They didn't have the understanding of right and wrong. So the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam into their lives, and his coming into our lives as well, serves the purpose of calibrating and giving direction to the moral compass. Now, before I go into this, how he does that, I want us to understand something. The concept of hidayah is guidance. But what happens is, once a person has calibrated the moral compass, and they have a very sensitive and highly, a very accurate moral compass, then through the means of that compass, they find hidayah. Even when the book is silent, Quran, even when the Prophet is silent, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have within them this moral compass which will tell them, turn this way, turn that way, go this way, go that way, this will lead you to hidayah. So it's very important that our moral education that we give to children, it begins with the development of this moral compass. Because the moral compass in a child, they'll always remember that. They'll always remember. I, for myself, one of the things that my mother, at a very young age, was very specific on was language. And some of the words that were not even considered curse words, they were words that in my house were not allowed. And the result of that is, even up to the age of like 16, I had never even said a swear word, because that moral compass was embedded so early on that it just felt weird, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to that. So, as I was saying, the coming of the Prophet ﷺ into the lives of the community that he came into, and consequently, of course, our own lives, is to calibrate the collective and individual moral compasses and develop what we call the furqan, the criterion by which to see. Now, stop for a moment and let's look at a few du'as of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at least one. There's one du'a that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa wa zuqna tiba'a وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابًا مِنْ O Allah, allow us to see haq as haq. Allow us to see haq as haq. So what that means is allow us to see the truth as truth. Meaning, there could be a reality to something, but because of some type of biases that you have in your mind, you don't see it as what it is. Imam Ghazali explains that a sick person may taste honey, but it doesn't taste good. Some of us, very sick to our stomachs, you can smell someone cooking the nicest pizza, and I'll start naming foods because we're fasting now, but someone be cooking the nicest food and it makes you want to vomit. It's not because the food smells bad, it's because there's something that's not balanced within you. So the Prophet ﷺ in this dua is teaching us that, remember, there can be a truth and there could be your recognition of that truth, and they don't always match up. So you have to beg God, ask Allah to create within you the muwafiqah, or a correlation, a balance between them, where the truth is seen as truth, but the dua isn't done. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he says, وَزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعَ. After you've given us the ability to see truth as truth, then give us the ability to follow that. And this comes to now what is called moral conviction, which is after we have this moral sensitivity and moral compass, we have this ability to actually hold on to it, which is a topic for another time. But there's three levels there. Show us the truth as truth and give us the ability to follow it. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he makes another dua, which is وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا, and show us the falsehood as falsehood. وَرْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابَ مِنْ, and give us the ability to stay away from it. So again, the same factor, that there's an external, there's a reality to the actions that we see people doing. There's a reality to the world. It's either haq or batil. There's a reality that the criterion tells us about that. But the hardship that we have is to make ourselves or bring ourselves to balance or in cohesion with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us is haq, and that which Allah has told us is batil, truth and falsehood. Then the third part of that dua is وَرْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابَ مِنْهُ, and O Allah, give us the ability to actually refrain or stay away from that. Now, if you look at the Sahaba, the companions of the Blessed Prophet ﷺ, when he first came, as I said before, we see clear examples of the moral compasses being very off. One example is the boy who accepts Islam, but then asks permission to commit zina. It's a well-known hadith. He accepts Islam, he submits to the Prophet ﷺ, submits to Allah, but then he follows that and says, oh, Messenger of Allah, I'm submitting, but you know what, I have one exclusion. Please, can you allow me to commit zina? Now, the Sahaba, they heard that, they jumped up right away, that what's going on, how could you say such a thing? Their moral compasses were very sensitive. They realized that this is something that shouldn't even be said, shouldn't even be thought, let alone said, and let alone in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ. So the moral compasses were very, very fine-tuned. And that was the product of the company, of having the company of the Prophet ﷺ. So, but when he said that, he sat down with him, and he educated him. And what I would say is, in the terminologies of this discussion, he calibrated that compass. And the young man says that when we were done speaking, there was nothing more hated in my eyes than the sin of zina, fornication. So we see this complete transformation that happens over just a short time of being in the company of that ultimate calibrator of moral compasses, the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. So in the beginning, they did not have that ability to find what's right other than through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what happens over time is that, first and foremost, we will look to the Quran. That will be the Furqan. And by our taqwa, our Furqan inside of ourselves actually increases, to the point where we get to the likes of Umar al-Faruq, right? He was given the name Faruq because the Prophet ﷺ said when he would walk down the street, Shaitan would run the other direction. Now, that's not to be taken hyperbole. It's to be understood that he was so aware of falsehood that it could not be in the same presence as him. It's like light and darkness. When light can't be in the same place as darkness, it can't happen. They're opposites. So when one comes, the other leaves. So the problem here, though, if we take the analogy of the compass a little further, we all know that the presence of a magnet near the compass can throw off the direction that the compass gives. Similarly, we can be in environments that will cause our moral compass to become off-centered, so to speak. And the way we fix that is to, first of all, stay in positive environments, stay in positive, neutral environments, right? Neutral for Iman, neutral for Iman. And not only that, but the company of the Prophet ﷺ is what gave them that highly calibrated compass. So likewise, for me and you, the company of the closest we can have to the Prophet ﷺ is what will calibrate that compass for us as well. And for us, that is the sulaha and the righteous. I want to narrate a hadith that kind of explains this concept very beautifully. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, it's a not too long of a hadith. I'm just concerned with the end portion of the hadith. The hadith is narrated that سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن يسير الرياء شرك. Even a very little bit of ostentation is shirk or polytheism. وإن من عادى لله وليا فقد بارز الله بالمحاربة. Then the Prophet says that the one who goes against a friend of Allah, a wali, a person that has wilaya, that's a special connection with Allah. Whoever goes against that person, Allah says, the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this person has gone to war with Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. And then the Prophet continues this hadith: Inna Allah yuhibbul abrar al atqiya al akhfiya. Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala loves the abrar, the righteous, atqiya, those who have taqwa, and akhfiya, those who are hidden. So this is one of the very things that we miss in today's social media society, that most of the awliya of Allah, most of the friends of Allah, are hidden. They're not out there. They're not in front of everyone. They're hidden. And one scholar, he said, if there's any group of 40 or 100 believers together, one of them is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hadith continues. الَّذِينَ إِذَا غَابُوا لَمْ يُفْتَقَدُوا. Those who, if they're not present, no one misses them. No one misses them. وَإِنْ حَضَرُوا لَمْ يُدْعَوا. If they're present, no one even considers that they're here. They don't even notice that they're present. وَلَمْ يَعْرَفُوا قُلُوبُ وَلَمْ يَعْرَفُوا. And they're not known. Then the Prophet says, and this is the main part I want to focus on for our topic on calibrating our hearts and finding that moral compass in that furqan. Allah says, قُلُوبُهُمْ مَصَابِيحُ الْهُدَى يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْ كُلِّ غَبْرَاءَ مُظْلِمًا. Their hearts are lanterns or lampposts, right, of guidance. Their hearts are lamps of guidance. So sitting with them gives you that light. It gives you that, calibrates that compass. يَخْرُجُونَ, they find their way out of every darkness. So, what is this hadith telling us? That there are certain people of Allah who are hidden. They're righteous. They're pious. You don't even notice them when they show up. If they're not present, you don't even call them. But who are they? Their hearts are lampposts of guidance. It's powerful, powerful, powerful meanings. So, find those people in your community. Look for those silent but powerful hearts that are in your masajid and accompany them. be with them, sit with them, eat with them. Get that let yourself calibrate through company with them. Okay? There's another hadith. It's been about 25 minutes, so we're not going to stretch this out too long. There's another hadith, which is the hadith of Wabisa. Wabisa's hadith, I'm going to paraphrase it for lack of time. Wabisa's hadith is a very, very oft-quoted hadith. And this hadith is when Wabisa comes to ask the Prophet ﷺ about bir and itham, righteousness and sin, light, darkness, guidance, misguidance. Now, if we put this in context of today's discussion, Wabisa has the Quran, Wabisa has the Prophet ﷺ, but he's still asking for guidance on what is bir, righteousness, what is itham. He sits down, the Prophet ﷺ comes close to him, he puts his knees to his knees, the Prophet ﷺ touches his chest with his fingers, and he says to him, he says, Ya Wabisa, istafti qalbaka, ask your heart. Wal bir, righteousness is that which itma'anna ilayhi an-nafs watma'anna ilayhi al-qulub, that which your soul and your mind and your heart finds peace and tranquility in. Now I want to pause here. The young boy who accepted Islam and asked the Prophet ﷺ to commit zina, was it possible at that time for him to ask his heart what bir was and what righteousness was? No. Why? Because the heart had not been calibrated yet. This hadith is not for every person to say, let me ask my heart what's right. After the heart has been calibrated and it's been sensitive and it recognizes haq and batil, at that point, and most of the time we're not even aware of when that is. Most of the time, if you think you've reached that point, you haven't reached it yet. It's normally through the telling of other people that they see that level of righteousness that a person is informed. I mean, even the Mahdi won't recognize that he's the Mahdi until everyone's like, yo, bro, it's you. And he's like, what are you talking about? It ain't me. He's like, it's you. So if you think that's you, then you need to kind of maybe check yourself a bit. So the point here is that Wabisa is being told, because it's late in his calibration, he has it now. He has it. So he's being told that, ask your heart, O Wabisa. Remember, that's not for everyone because everyone hasn't had that calibration yet. The last thing I want to wrap up with, and I hope this is beneficial for us, inshallah, in this blessed month of Ramadan, be with righteous people, be they unknown, read the Quran, allow yourself to reset, allow Ramadan to change you. By definition, it breaks habits. Let it break you. Let it break those habits and create a new you. Last thing I want to end on. There's one surah which is named Al-Furqan, Surah Furqan, which means the criterion. Tabarak alladhi nazal al-Furqan. All praise be, or blessed be he who has sent down this Furqan criterion by which we distinguish. And alhamdulillah, Allah gave us that. I mean, I don't know about you, but without that criterion being given to me, I did not even know some of the basic parts of how to live as a human being, as Allah would want us to live. But the point I want you to look at, and time doesn't allow me to go into it, is that in that surah, at the end of it, is a long passage or set of passages that describes Ibadur Rahman, the servants of Allah. What the exegesis of Quran and the Mufassirin have explained is that by titling this surah as Furqan, and by providing this description of Ibadur Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing me and you and saying, if you want to know if your moral compass is calibrated, hold yourself up to the litmus test of these passages. So I want everyone, inshallah, to go to the end of Surah Furqan, the criterion, and the last 20 or so ayahs, I'm not sure the exact ayahs, has this description. So I want you to go through that and think of it, applying it to yourself. Is this me? Is this me? Do I have this in me? Because that will, and be true to yourself. There's no one, you have to judge yourself truthfully, because Allah will judge you according to the truth no matter what. So the point being, brothers and sisters, is look at those inverses and hold yourself up to that litmus test and see, have you adopted the criterion within you? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the truth as truth. Ameen. And give us the ability to follow that. I ask Allah to protect us from these different biases that affect our understanding of the truth. And ask Allah to clean us from those things. We live in an environment where it's very hard for us to recognize truth as truth. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, and he is the most truthful of all sayers, that as we get closer to Qiyamah, it will continue to become inverse more and more. That the munkar will become ma'ruf, the evil will become good, and the good will become evil. So it's important that you constantly calibrate that compass according to the Prophet and the scholars and the righteous people. That's that calibration. But khair, may Allah give us the tawfiq to see truth as truth, number one. To follow that after we see it. Number two, may Allah give us the ability to see falsehood as falsehood, and the ability to ijtinab min, to refrain, stay as far away from that as possible. May Allah bless your Ramadan. I advise you and myself, connect to the Quran, connect to the Book of Allah, put other things down in this month. If not now, when will you? This is the blessed month of Ramadan. Put other projects to the side if you can, and spiritually devote yourself to Allah. Put the academic aside. We study Islam very academically a lot of the year, which is good. There's good to that. But there's a time where you get out of the academic study of Islam and you just submit. You just put your head down in prostration. You just humble your heart. So if that's not happening in Ramadan, brothers and sisters, then you've missed the point of this most spiritual recharge moment that the believer is blessed with. So may Allah bless you, may Allah bless your families, may Allah give you the tawfiq to act upon what was said. May Allah give us the ability to educate our children morally and to provide them with the wholesome moral intelligence that was revealed and imparted through us through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.